chapter 3. Titus chapter 3, all of the passages this morning are not only deal with communion subjects, but also missions subjects. And so they are dealing with that. And this morning, here is Titus 3, verses 3 through 7, which is looking back. Looking back. And many times when we've looked back on the sacrifice of Christ. But this morning, we're going to look back on who we were on the other side of the cross. You know, we were different people. We were different people. We had different loves. We had different desires. And now Christ has changed us and made us into a new creation. Right? So Titus chapter 3. Have you found it yet? Is Titus a hard one to find? It's in the New Testament. It's after, you know, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. 1st and 2nd Timothy, if 1st and 2nd Timothy are getting really close. And once you've found Titus, hopefully it will not be hard to find Titus 3. And I want to read this starting with verse 3. So Titus 3:3. Looking back, we ourselves were also once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful, and hating one another. Let me pause there for a minute, okay? Now, some of you maybe were saved at a very young age. Maybe you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ when you were 4, 5, 6. And so you didn't maybe have a life of sin. You know, maybe you read verses 3 and you say, well, I mean, I wasn't that bad as a 5-year-old, you know, kind of thing. But maybe some of you got saved later on in life, and maybe you look back and say, yes, this was me. And wherever you were, or whenever you got saved, I want to let you know that this is whether or not you got here, or this was you, this was the potential you. You at 5, you may have not had the potential to let your sin run its course, to let the work of Satan in you run its course. But certainly, if it would have, it would have come to this place. And so praise the Lord. If you were saved at a young age, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord for what He kept you from. But this is true of all of us. This is either what we were or where we were heading. We were foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures. This is where our world is. This is where unsaved people are. Deceived. We have a world out there that's deceived about what true life really is, about what living it really is. They're foolish. They're working so hard to strive after things and acquire things that will never last. But, verse 4, when the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior, that having been justified by His grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is who we were, verse 3, on the other side of the cross. This is looking back. But there was a day when we heard about Jesus Christ, when we heard that He was the one who died on the cross for our sins. And hopefully we believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. It was the kindness and the love of God. And He changed us and saved us. And please remember this. It wasn't because you were so wonderful. It wasn't because you were so good. It wasn't even because of the potential that you had. In fact, Romans tells us that you were loved even when you were an enemy of Jesus Christ. He saved you because He loved you, not because you were good. He cleansed you because He loved you and loves you. So as we look back in some of these songs, be reminded this morning, yes, of our past on the other side of the cross, but also be reminded of the day that Jesus Christ came and saved us and changed us. And He is making us into a new creation. That is as we are going to look back this morning in our song. So, Daniel, please come. and lead us in a couple of our songs here this morning as we start off.
No, get closer. Yeah. Just get closer to the mic. Don't go farther away. I know, it's not going to bite you. Just get closer. It's okay.
Marvelous grace of our loving Lord, grace that exceeds our sin and our guilt, outpoured. There where the blood of the Lamb was spilled. Grace, grace, God's grace. Grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Threaten the soul with infinite loss. Grace that is greater, yes, grace untold. Points to the refuge, the mighty cross. Grace, grace, God's grace. Grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all our sin. Dark is a stain that we cannot hide. What can avail to wash it away? Look, there is flowing a crimson tide. Whiter than snow you may be today. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace. Pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace. Grace that is greater than all our sin. Marvelous, infinite, matchless grace, freely bestowed on all who believe. You that are longing to see His face, will you this moment His grace receive? No list of sins I have not done, no list of virtues I pursue, no list of those I am not like, can earn myself a place with you. Oh God, be merciful to me. I am a sinner through and through. My only hope of righteousness is not in me, but only you. No humble dress, no fervent prayer, no lifted hands, no tearful song, no recitation of the truth can justify a single wrong. My righteousness is Jesus' life. My debt was paid by Jesus' death. My weary load was borne by him, and he alone can give me rest. No separation from the world, no work I do, no gift I give, can cleanse my conscience, cleanse my heart. I cannot cause my soul to live. But Jesus died and rose again. The power of death is overthrown. My God is merciful to me, and merciful in Christ alone. Please take your Bibles and go to Matthew chapter 9. And this is an inward look. Now, this is a little bit different than our communion passage. Usually we go to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. But here, because of Missions Month, I wanted to come here and I wanted you to look in to see what kind of missionary you are. And I know what you're saying. I know what you're thinking. Wait, Pastor, I'm not a missionary. The missionaries are those guys that have their pictures on the wall back in the foyer. Do you know that the Lord has called each one of us to be a missionary? Each one of us is to carry the gospel to the world around us. And he may not have called us to a full-time vocational missionary career, but certainly we need to share the gospel. And so this morning, what I want us to do as we look at this passage, and I'll say a few words around it, when we have a time of reflection, I want you to look inwardly. I want you to ask yourself some questions like this. Before I take communion, have I believed on the Lord Jesus Christ? I mean, is this even for me? Because this represents the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. This represents him dying in our place. And if you've not believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, then this means nothing to you. So first, look within your heart and see, have you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ? And then secondly, I would say, look and see if you've been baptized. Have you been scripturally baptized? And you say, well, Pastor, that's not part of salvation. Why do I have to be baptized to take communion? Communion is not just about salvation. Communion is about living a right life in light of the gospel. We have been saved by Jesus Christ, but are we living in accordance with that salvation? And guess what? Baptism is one of the commands that Jesus has given his followers to observe. And I've told you this in the past. Baptism is the easiest commandment that Jesus will ever call you to. It's not that hard. I do all the dunking. You're just very, very, you're just there. And I'll bring you back up, I promise. Mostly promise. No, I do. I'll bring you back up. We go down into the water. It reminds us of the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. But it also signifies our death. That I have died to an old life. Me is dead. And I've been raised to a new life. This new life that is now Christ. Christ is my life. Christ is my everything. For me to live now is Christ. And that's what baptism pictures. And Jesus has called his followers to observe that. It's the outward demonstration of the inward reality. And so we come and we get baptized. And so ask yourself this question, have I been scripturally baptized? After I believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, have I demonstrated to the church and to the world that I've believed in the Lord Jesus Christ through baptism? But that it doesn't end there. Because as you know, there's more commands that the Lord gives to us. Oh, Pastor, do we have to go through every command? No, not this morning. We don't have to go through every command. But here's the precious thing. If you've believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, you have the Holy Spirit living inside of you. I don't need to go through every command. The Holy Spirit will. The Holy Spirit will show you if there is sin in your heart. And before you partake in this, if there is sin in your heart, get it right with the Lord Jesus Christ. Confess your sin and be right with him. But then I'm going to take it a step further because this is Missions Month. And I'm going to go further into the area of dedication. Are you serving the Lord Jesus Christ? And that's really where I want you to end up this morning in our silent prayer. I want you before the Lord, as he inspects you and as you interact, as you pray, as you commune with the Lord, I want you to be okay with your service for the Lord. And what I mean by that is that I want you to be able to say, oh, Lord, I'm serving you. I'm sharing the gospel. I'm doing what I should be doing. But I wonder if in many of our hearts, as the Lord inspects us and as the Holy Spirit points out things to us, we might say, yeah, I've been reluctant to share the gospel. I haven't been committed to Christ like I should be. And so hopefully this morning the Lord will call you back in the midst of communion. So let me read these verses to you from Matthew chapter 35. It says this, Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching to their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered, like sheep having no shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, truly, the harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. And I know this happened a long time ago, and Jesus said this to his disciples who were right there, but can you hear me this morning? If you are a follower of Jesus Christ, and guess what? You are also a disciple of Jesus Christ. And can you hear him saying these words to you? The harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. What does the Lord ask you to do? What does he ask his disciples to do here in verse 37, 38? Pray. Pray that the Lord of the harvest would send laborers into his harvest field. He's not saying, hey, you go. He's just asking you to pray about it. But do you know what happens when you start to pray about something? Many times God will move your hearts, and your hearts will be more ready to go. So in our quiet time as Kevin plays the piano, I want you to inspect your life before we take communion. Where are you with the Lord? Where are you in obedience to the Lord? And where are you in your dedication to the Lord? And even in that silent prayer, that silent time, pray that the Lord would send out laborers into his harvest field. Pray that from this church family, God would send out people. And in the midst of that prayer, don't forget to say, and Lord, if you want me to go, here am I. Send me. Kevin, please. Thank you. Daniel's going to come and lead us in a song, 347, So Send I You, which is a song about going to the mission field. So please pay attention to the words as you sing.
So send I you, by grace made strong to triumph o'er hosts of hell, o'er darkness, death, and sin. My name to bear, and in that name to conquer. So send I you, my victory to win. So send I you to take to souls in bondage the word of truth that sets the captive free, to break the bonds of sin, to loose its fetters. So send I you, the lost to me. You strength to know in weakness, my joy in grief, my perfect peace in pain, to prove my power, my grace, my promised presence. So send I you, eternal fruit to gain. So send I you, to bear my cross with patience, and then one day with joy to lay it down, to hear my voice, well done, my faithful servant, my throne, my kingdom, and my crown. The Father and me, so send.
Isn't that what we hear? And then one day with joy to lay it down, to hear my voice, well done, my faithful servant. Isn't that what you're working for and looking for? Hopefully. Well, we have our communion cup in front of us, and hopefully you're able to get one. And so this, we're going to read together from 1 Corinthians, and then it will be up on the screen here. So we're looking up at Christ. Of course, the Lord instituted this on the night before he was betrayed, gave this to his church, and we see the church observing this. And these two things remind us of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. He died for us. He was the perfect sacrifice, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And as we partake of this together, we are reminded of that. So let me just pray and thank the Lord for his body, which was broken for us, and then his blood, which was shed for us. Father, thank you so much for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for my sin. I know that without Jesus, I could never be right with you. I could never call you Father. I could never come and pray before you with any kind of confidence. I could never hold on to the promises of your word. I could never look forward to a coming day when you will take me to be with you forever. I could never claim with confidence that heaven is my home. But because of Jesus, I have all those things. And I am rich. But I'm not the only one here. You haven't just saved me, but you've saved my brothers and sisters in Christ here and around the world. And throughout the centuries, Father, we rejoice in that. And so we say thank you again this morning, and we are reminded of your work for us in partaking of these things. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, let's start with the bread that is on the one side, and you can open that up and take that out. And then let's read this together, 1 Corinthians 11:24. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." We do this together in remembrance of Jesus. And then the grape juice, and you can open this carefully. And then we have up here the next verse, 11:25, 1 Corinthians 11:25, and let's read this together. "In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me.'" We participate in this together, reminded us of the blood of Jesus Christ that has cleansed us from every sin. Father, thank you so much for the salvation that we have in Jesus Christ. Amen. Daniel's going to come and lead us in some songs about our salvation. "My faith has found a resting place," and then, "Oh, how he loves you and me."
"My faith has found a resting place, not in device nor creed. I trust the ever-living One, His wounds for me shall plead. I need no other argument, I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died, and that he died for me. Enough for me that Jesus saves. This ends my fear and doubt. A sinful soul, I come to him. He'll never cast me out. I need no other argument, I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died, and that he died for me. My heart is leaning on the word, the written word of God. Salvation by my Savior's name, salvation through his blood. I need no other argument, I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died, and that he died for me. My great physician heals the sick, the lost he came to save. For me his precious blood he shed, for me his life he gave. I need no other argument, I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died, and that he died for me. Could he give? Oh, how loves me. Oh, how he loves you and me. Jesus to Calvary did go. His love for mankind to show. What he did there brought hope from despair. Oh, how he loves you. Oh, how he loves me. Oh, how he loves you and me.
Well, this is the time when we take an opportunity to look around. And so for this, we're going to go into Matthew chapter 28. Verses 18 through 20, which is marked as the Great Commission, Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. And it's up there on the screen as well. Christianity is not to be done in isolation. Following Christ is not to be done alone. Many believers struggle with following Christ because they try and do it all by themselves. And the Lord has made it so that we need the church. We need our church family, warts and all. And some days you may not feel like coming to be with the church family, but you need to be here. When you're in sin, you're not going to want to be here, but you need to be here. You need to be here because here you are loved. You are. We're not perfect and we don't love perfectly. We're still a bunch of sinners. But when we're reminded of what Christ has done for us, we love one another like Christ has loved us. And you come here, warts and all, sin and all, and we'll love you. We'll slap you around a little bit. We'll tell you, hey, give going back the right way because we love you. We want you to walk with Christ. And in the area of missions, it is good that we are reminded as a community, as a church family, that we're to be involved in this because we need to remind one another. This is what God has called us to. You know, we're going to have some missionaries come in, and it's going to be easy for us to say, that's his job. He's a missionary, not me. But we need to keep reminding one another that we are missionaries. And we have a lost world around us. And so before we pray for one another, as we look around at one another, let me read to you from Matthew chapter 28. Jesus came and spoke to them, and this is his disciples, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things as I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. Let me start with the last part right there. Do you see that part where Jesus says, I am with you? You know, missions can be scary. Sharing the gospel can be scary because you know what? You're going to run up against people who do not believe in God. You're going to run up in people who hate, up to people who hate God. And so it's scary. What are they going to say? Am I going to have the right words to say? It's just me against them. But guess what? Jesus is with us. Always. I like that. Always, even when I share the gospel, yes, Jesus is with you. So go, make disciples, share the gospel, see people get saved, get them baptized, get them growing in the word, get them to the place where they are making other disciples. Our mission as the church is not just to get people saved. Yes, we want to see people saved. And it's not just to get people baptized. Yes, we want to see people baptized. But we want to work in people's lives so that they become followers of Jesus Christ and are going out themselves making disciples. So as we pray for one another this morning, and that's what we're going to do. We have two mics set up here this morning, and we've been doing this as part of our communion service, where we come and we pray for one another. Maybe there's health issues that we need to pray for. Maybe we need to pray specifically or generally. It's okay. But we pray for one another because we love one another, and we believe in prayer. I believe that God works through prayer. And I may not understand all the mysteries about that, but God has told me to pray, and God has told you to pray, and God has told us to pray, and God has said he will honor that and work through that. And I believe that because I believe the promises of God. I know that's shocking. And so this morning, if you want to, you can come and you can pray. You can maybe just pray for our church family. Maybe you can pray that God would call out missionaries from our group. Whatever we want to do this morning, these mics will be open for a little bit if you would like to come and pray. And then after we pray, then I'll close us up in that in this time period, and then we'll sing a song. So let me start by praying. I'm going to just do a little prayer to open it up, and then if you'd like, you can come pray. Father, as we come before you as a church family, I know we are not perfect, but we love you and we thank you for the gift of salvation and the opportunity to pray and the promise that you work through prayers. And so, Father, as we pray together, may you hear our prayers. May you work through them for your glory. In Jesus' name. Father, as a church family, we have so much to be thankful for. You have richly blessed us, and you have allowed us to be used for your glory, and we rejoice in that. Thank you, Father, for the servants here in this church, those who serve on a regular basis in many different ways. Some are seen and some are unseen, and I just rejoice in that. Father, I pray for Leroy. It's been such a blessing to our church family through the years, him and Florence. And now he's coming to the end of his journey, seemingly. We thank you that he has run his race well. And Father, we pray that you would give him strength to run it well to the very end. Pray that you would watch over him and give him comfort and peace. Father, the Bible that he has read so many times, the words that are contained within your book, they would comfort his heart and rejoice his mind as he comes to the soon coming day when he will see our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you for his testimony, and we do pray for Florence and the family that you would encourage them, remind them that this is just a short part of our life here, but that there is coming a day when we will be with Christ forever and be reunited with those who have died in Christ. Father, we pray for others within our church family who are struggling with arthritis, who are struggling with other chronic illnesses, and I pray that you would encourage them as well. Father, that can be so weary and draining, and I just pray that you would strengthen them. Father, help them to rejoice in Christ, rejoice in their salvation. Father, I pray for our young people who are here this morning. I pray that you would work in their hearts, that you would call them away from the pleasures of the world, from the things that do not satisfy, from the things that are temporary, that you would call them to the eternal things, that they would be willing to live their lives for Jesus Christ. And Father, as we, may we as a church family reiterate this to them, pray this for them, and encourage them in it. And Father, may it please you that from this church, we would be able to send out missionaries into the world to preach the gospel. Father, thank you so much for the work you're doing here. Continue the good work until the day we see our Savior's face. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we're going to move forward to one last thing here this morning. And for this, I just want to take you to take your Bibles and go to Acts chapter 9. And then we're going to sing one last song, O Church Arise. We look forward to the return of Jesus Christ. If we are changed people, then we have changed motives. We have changed desires. We are looking for Jesus. Are you looking for Jesus to come back? What's the matter? Are you so enamored with the world that you don't want Jesus to come? I would have thought there would have been a bigger amen. I mean, are you looking forward for Jesus to come back? Amen. There we go. He's coming back, and I'm looking forward to it, and I hope you're looking forward to it. But as we look forward, it's not just that we're looking forward to Jesus coming back. We're also looking forward to being busy until he comes back. We're just not here to hold down chairs. We're here to share the gospel. Let me show you what a changed man looks like. Let me show you what it looks like when someone has been awoken from the dead to Christ. And it says this in Acts chapter 9, and this is after Paul has been saved. And it says this, 9:20, immediately he preached the Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God. Then all who heard were amazed and said, is this not he who destroyed those who called on his name in Jerusalem and has come here for that purpose so that he might bring them bound to the chief priest? But Saul increased all the more in strength and confounded the Jews who dwelt in Damascus, proving that this Jesus is the Christ. Immediately, Paul went out to preach the gospel. And do you know what people around were saying? Who is this guy? What happened? I mean, just before he was on our side destroying these people, he's a changed man. And he continues on and continues on and continues on. And you know that for the rest of his life, he preached the gospel. This is the change that's supposed to be seen in us. This is what we're supposed to be doing. Not just sitting around, but preaching the gospel. Go out. God's calling us as a church to rise up. A world is out there that needs Jesus Christ. Will you go? We're going to end with this song, 353, O Church, Arise. And this will be a song that we'll sing throughout the month to call us to go. Arise and go. Arise and go. We are soldiers carrying the gospel. Arise and go. And then when we are done singing this, Daniel will close us in a word of prayer. And I would encourage you, if there's anything that I've said this morning or anything you have questions about, please come talk to me about salvation. Maybe it's about missions. Maybe you're a younger person. You say, well, what would that look like, going to a mission field? What do I have to do? What are the steps I need to take? Come talk to me. Or maybe if your heart's been stirred, maybe you say, I want to be more involved with missions, but, you know, I'm this old person, and what can I do? Well, you come talk to me. We will find something for you to do. Right? So Daniel's going to close us in this song and then pray for us. But please get a hold of me if you have any questions. Thank you.
Oh, church, arise. Say that they are strong.